Hello, wonderful Third Culture kids. I'm happy to be talking to you this Friday about a theme that keeps coming up for me personally, for the Third Culture kids I'm working with, and it's about boundaries. This is such a buzzword, and quite rightly has been for so long, is boundaries, boundary setting. And I find that we all have a very our own particular relationship with the word boundary. For a lot of us, boundaries are can be quite frightening, actually, not just because setting them is often associated with conflict, but because we might fear other people setting boundaries with us as well. We might have difficult experiences of being communicated to that we're too much, that we've overstepped, that we've misstepped. My brain is buzzing. There's just so many different places to go on this topic. That experience of overstepping other people's boundaries is a particularly excruciating one, and it is for anybody. But when I'm working with Third Culture kids, and when I'm reflecting on my own story as a TCK, I'm reminded again and again of our particular sensitivities to this when making a faux pas, when accidentally offending is just so mortifying and frightening. And it's that accidental offense that's often so difficult. A lot of us grow up learning to be incredibly vigilant about the norms and expectations of what's going on around us. And we do this so that we can watch and learn. A number of us maybe grew up thinking we were introverted because we tended to adopt that watcher perspective. It might simply be the case that we've learned caution. And that's so as to avoid these mortifying, awful moments where we've got it wrong. So having other people set boundaries with us can really... I'm reading about complex PTSD at the moment. Pete Walker's work, Complex PTSD from Surviving to Thriving, is an excellent book. But he talks about, I refer to it now because he talks about emotional flashbacks. And I think for a lot of us, that moment when somebody is addressing a boundary with us, we can experience a kind of emotional flashback, a kind of navel tug back into our early chapters where we just feel the shame. We feel such shame that we have been observed, we have been seen to be doing something less than thoughtful, to be doing something that somebody else did not like, and feels the need to correct us around. Of course, what might actually be happening in the present is somebody simply realizing that they needed to communicate a boundary with us that they didn't realize we didn't know, right? It might not actually be a correction framework that they're using. They might simply be trying to communicate overtly with us, perhaps practicing their own boundary setting skills, or simply in recognition that we are not mind readers. Except how many of us grew up working very hard to be mind readers? I know that's something that I worked towards. It's something a lot of the Third Culture kids that I work with almost have a kind of data set of how often they are simply right about their assessment of the unconscious dynamics at play. And it's really, it can become a really big part of our personality. Sorry, I was slightly distracted there. I just saw my cat, who I didn't realize was in the room, kind of shifting position. Boundaries, so receiving boundaries might be particularly mortifying to us as TCKs because we associate them with social lack of safety, right? If somebody's had to correct us, that means we did something wrong, which means we're reminded we're not socially safe, we're socially vulnerable, we're the new kid, we can be ostracized, right? Ultimately, abandonment looms when we find we have crossed somebody else's boundary. And then there's the our own boundaries. Now, to be able to set our own boundaries, we need our own sense of like territory, of actually having the right to a certain space and the right to assert behaviors that enter that space. Well, I mean, this is the crux of much of our experience, right? Is that we were entering other people's spaces. And the development of our own sense of space, territory, is the work of our adult lives for many of us. It's interesting to me anyway, that I got distracted by my cat there because having first got a pet just a few years ago, really, having never had pets, so to speak, as a child, if you don't count chickens, they do territory. Cats particularly do territory in a way that boggles my mind. The entitlement of these furry creatures to rub their little pheromones over every inch of space they come into contact with. It's fascinating to watch for me. And something I think a lot of us could learn from, this sense of my space. And it's something very natural in the world around us for us to do. As we have seen with human beings as well as with creatures, there's a huge amount of potential conflict around negotiations and dispute over territory, which is one of the many reasons we're frightened of them. If we simply don't bother having territory, sense of self, preferences, desire for things to go a certain way, then our boundaries can't be breached and we can avoid all conflict. Simple, right? And it's an approach that I see a lot of us adopt. We become needless, or perhaps we simply never develop needs. Whatever it is, we manage to kind of shrink ourselves very often into a space that doesn't really seem to need defending, because look how inconsequential and inoffensive it is. The trouble with this is we do have needs, and at some point somebody will cross some line for us. And the pain of that, when we have often worked so hard to make it almost impossible for any lines to be crossed, can get big, really big and really painful for us. When we have an identity that says, look, I ask so little. Why can't I have this one thing? Why can't this one thing be respected? And so an awful lot of my reflections around being TCKs is around this idea of boundaries, because we cannot have self if we can't see the shape or the line that separates myself from other. And that's another reason they can be so frightening, because they speak of separation. If I identify myself, I have to identify distinctiveness of self from others. And while we often grow up doing this and being encouraged to do this in sort of broader terms, TCKs were so different from non-TCKs, for instance. And I say that with a certain number of air quotes involved, because, well, the sociologist in me wants to argue with every kind of assertion like that. But essentially, it feels othering. There's already so much that keeps us apart as individuals. My experience, however, and this was brought home to me particularly this week through a number of conversations with TCKs and just the sheer delight of watching you guys work, is how when we do find this, when we lean into our sense of self and we start to explore our preferences and we notice our pain and we notice our joy and we notice our shape, right? That there is this line that creates this territory, this boundary that forms between ourself and others. There's a sense of where my story ends and where yours begins. And we can keep our feelings and our stories in our bit of life, as it were, and other people's feelings and experiences can be theirs. We don't need to manage them. We don't need to compensate for them if other people are having difficult feelings, because they're their feelings. And we can leave them over there while we attend to ours over here. And somehow creating that boundary or respecting that boundary can actually bring us closer to the people around us, because we can get right up close, we can get really intimate without the fear that we're going to be sucked into their identity, without the fear that they're going to invade ours, that there's going to be this bleeding of selves where we're going to lose the precious, precious parts of us. Through all those coping strategies we might have picked up in childhood, mirroring, adaptation, appeasement, acclimatizing. We don't have to worry about those skill sets being automatically applied. We might choose to apply them at times, but when they've become automated, it's a sort of reactivity rather than choice. And boundaries gives us that choice. Boundaries says, is this my bit or is this your bit? And a lot of us, you know, I should probably piece this across a few different podcasts really, but it makes sense that we have anxiety around boundaries. I suppose that's what I'm trying to communicate today. A lot of us, through sheer frequency of mobility, didn't have to set them. We could tolerate a certain amount of adaptation and identity fuzziness because we just had to wait and then we would move or they would move and we wouldn't have to do that piece of I prefer things this way and I don't like it when you do that. And the real boundary work, of course, isn't even just communicating our preferences. It's the follow through. It's the if you do that, I'm going to do this to keep myself safe and well. Or I have a boundary around how much sleep I need or how much alone time I need or how much social time I need. And I understand that the choices I make respecting those needs are going to make you sad. And I'm going to do it anyway. We can save ourselves an awful lot of having to do that work when we can overstretch ourselves in the short term. And the long term has never really had to be negotiated with in relationships because we didn't have them. They left, or we left. We learn to adopt other people's boundaries as part of adapting. What are acceptable boundaries are, of course, massively culturally mediated. Right down to what's a, you know, if we got really physical and tangible about it, you know, what is an acceptable physical space boundary between people in conversation? That's going to differ wildly between cultures, how close we stand to each other. Boundaries around work work time bleeding into personal life, that's culturally mediated. Boundaries around truth-telling and personal detail sharing. Boundaries around romantic relationships, physical boundaries, how we communicate our yes and our no. Boundaries around family values. Just so much to adapt to. And so in our focus growing up of adopting our surrounds in terms of fitting in with the social values of our community, there doesn't often get much, that there isn't a lot of space left necessarily for personal preference. And so this is the work of now. What do I prefer? And because all of that adapting and all of that blurred boundaries often gave us a sense of social safety, I can fit in, I can make people like me. There is a risk involved when we start setting them. However, and this is the bit I suppose I want to leave with, there is also a risk to not having them at all. When we don't have boundaries, the degree of real intimacy that we can engage in is very limited. Either because eventually we're going to burn out and get resentful because we're giving too much, or because we are so adaptive that the people trying to connect to us aren't able to make contact with our true selves. Because our true self is hidden under too many layers of accommodation. And then there's the third limiting way of lack of boundaries, of course, and that is that we learn to distrust whether or not people actually like us. Because we have told ourselves the story, and perhaps we have experienced direct feedback around this story, that the very reason they like us is because we're so easygoing. Or we're so like them. Or we like all the same things they do. And perhaps even because we're so independent and we're not too emotionally needy. And all these things that we've cultivated to keep ourselves socially safe that effectively mask our own needs. Oof. Even when we're surrounded by loving affirmation, if the person we're convinced they love is the accommodating version of ourselves, we're never going to truly trust it. And I think that's why a lot of us are living with quite high degrees of imposter syndrome. Because we've not really got a sense that they would like the more awkward parts of ourselves. Whew, just a little bit of food for thought on a Friday. There's so much more to this piece around boundaries. And I know that I've just kind of scattered a few of the major themes out here and a few of the observations that come up a lot for me in my work with you, in my work with myself. But as you can probably tell, I'm a massive fan of boundaries. And I particularly love them for how paradoxically connecting they can be. When we've got solid sense of self, where I end, where you begin, and we're willing to maintain our own safety emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, physically, when we're able to maintain those sense of selves and trust ourselves to do that, our ability to get really close to people goes up, because we're not going to lose ourselves this time. In fact, we might simply expand our sense of self through contact with them rather than feel encroached upon. And I know that's a big part of my journey. I'd love to know if you're walking it too. I really appreciate any and all of the feedback I get from you and your thoughts on this. I'd be really, really appreciative of your thoughts on this and to expand my understanding as well. Thank you for listening. Until next time, take care of you.